So today we're going to talk about whether we are trainable or untrainable. And I wanted to start off with a little story about lawn sprinklers. You know, I always do my own irrigation work because, well, it's 50 years ago now, I put irrigation in the Southern Hills Country Club in Tulsa. So those of you who are avid golfers know that place. And I think I know something about sprinklers. So one of mine cracked. It was kind of geysering up, and I thought, oh, I'll just fix it. I went and looked in my toolbox for sprinklers, and I had an extra sprinkler head. So I thought, I'll just twist this one off and put the new one on a minute. And it was kind of muddy because of the geyser. So I'm laying there on my belly in the mud, and I could not get this thing to thread. I thought, now, what in the world is going on here? Why can't I get this? I was getting all frustrated. Why can't I get this thing to thread? You know, I think, no, come on. I'm a pretty smart guy. I have a master's degree. I have a doctorate. Why can't I get this sprinkler to thread? I got so frustrated about it. I normally don't bother God with sprinklers, but I actually prayed for some help. So I turned the sprinkler over and realize it's a half inch thread and the place I gotta put it on is 3/4 inch. So there I sat in the mud. So I went to Ace Hardware and I didn't change my shirt. I went full mud and got myself another sprinkler. I have to be teachable when it comes to irrigation. There's some things I don't wanna be teachable about. Tax law, don't wanna know about it. I gladly hire somebody to do my taxes. I'm not going to do it. I know a little bit about cars. I know quite a bit about the Bible. But I have to remain open to learning. See, so often we can have what's called either a fixed mindset or a growth mindset. You know, and the growth mindset is kind of cool. You know, they see failure as an opportunity to grow. I can learn to do anything I want, even repair sprinklers. Challenges help me to grow. My effort and attitude determine my abilities. Very true. Feedback is constructive. It often is. And I'm inspired by the success of others rather than being jealous. I like to try new things. That is a growth mindset. A fixed mindset, on the other hand, says, well, failure is the limit of my abilities. If I can't do it, I can't do it. That's it. And as it says, I'm either good at it or I'm not. My abilities are unchanging. I don't like to be challenged. I can either do it or I can't. And then the one that really gets to me, my potential is predetermined. I had an atheist tell me that the other day. My potential is predetermined. I said, well, who predetermined it then? If you don't believe it, you know, doesn't make sense. And then when I'm frustrated, I give up. And feedback and criticism is always personal. So I'll stick to what I know. That is the fixed mindset. So as we talk about that, I wonder what's going through your minds right now. Where are you closed to growth? Where are you shut off to growing? And if you can't think of anything, ask your significant other. They will tell you. All right? It's very obvious. All of us have those areas. We all have areas where we are resistant to input. There's a Dutch word that describes that very well. It's the word dwaas. And it means to be stubborn or foolish or resistant to growth. I learned about the word dwaas when I was trying to move sows that were about to give birth. For those of you who grew up in the burbs, a sow is a mature female pig that's already had one litter. And usually they have 8 to 12 in a litter. And about a week before they give birth, they have to be put in a special pen because otherwise they'll lay on their babies and suffocate them. And that takes the profit out of raising pork. So we don't want that. So we have to put them in these special pens. Well, these sows don't want to go in there. They fight it like crazy. And A 450-pound pig is something to fight with, I can tell you that much. So I guess this came from my grandfather, probably came from his grandfather. What my dad would do is he'd take a 5-gallon bucket and put some pig feed in the bottom of it, usually oats, and just show it to the sow. And inevitably, she'd put her head in there. And then he would take that bucket and shove it up on her head as much as he could, and then back her very humanely into the farrowing crate, the place where she could give birth. And doing that is where I learned the bulk of my Dutch profanity. Dwaas means stubborn. It kind of means a fixed mindset. It means foolish. It means not open to new ideas. It means you think you know it all. One of the things that I learned in South Dakota was there's this rancher there by the name of Bud Van Zee. And he was good to me. He was an unusual character. And for some reason, he thought nobody could hear it when he clipped his fingernails. So he clipped his fingernails while I was doing the prayer in worship services. I could always hear it. But he was a little hard of hearing. He couldn't hear it. So I guess that's what counted. But what was so interesting is he had this statement. And he was very successful in his business. But he said, there's always a better way of doing things. He says that applies to ranching, it applies to growing oats, it applies to running a church. There's always a better way of doing things, and that's always stuck with me. But to the open mindset, that's true. There's always a better way of doing things. But to a fixed mindset, that's garbage. There's not a better way of doing things. Now, the reason I bring it up, we're going to look at this from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. And I'm having a blast putting this series together. I even bought a video about Jeremiah, and the video's kind of weird because Jeremiah is a Caucasian in the video, so is Nebuchadnezzar. Jeremiah and Nebuchadnezzar both have blue eyes, and they're tall. And that's not historically accurate because they were short little Middle Easterners. And I've even been brushing up on my Hebrew. Diane and I this morning had the discussion that brushing up on my Hebrew at this age is proof that I'm a total nerd. But I'm having a blast with this anyway. So here's how this passage is. We're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 36 today. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, Jeremiah received this message from God. A little background information on these names here. Josiah was deceased at this point, but he was a good king. And good kings are not possible. I mean, because power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's pretty much true most of the time. But Josiah became king at age 8 after the assassination of his father. And he did some good things. He got rid of the nasty idolatry, the paganism in the land of Israel. The temple had fallen into disrepair, and he raised money to repair the temple. While they were repairing the temple, someone found a copy of what the scriptures call the law of God. Now, most Bible scholars believe that that was a rudimentary copy of what we have as Deuteronomy now. It was, you know, Deuteronomy's been added on to and changed through the years because, you know, they didn't have Microsoft or copyright laws. But this was the core of Deuteronomy, which contains the Ten Commandments. And the passage tells us that it changed everything in response to this message from God. One of the things that you did if you had bad people is you burned their bones after they, you know, had deteriorated for a while. And Josiah burned the bones of the pagan priests on the pagan altars and then smashed them. He reinstated the Jewish holidays of Passover, etc. And the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the original Ten Commandments written by the finger of God, was not in the temple anymore. They had taken it out and hidden it when the Egyptians came in and tried to raid. So he returned the Ark of the Covenant to the temple. He was influenced by a woman named Huldah, who was considered a prophetess. And the people who are opposed to women leading the church don't like to talk about Huldah. But she was there, and she was definitely a guiding hand of Josiah. The most important trait of Josiah is that he was teachable. He had a growth mindset. Now his son, Jehoiakim, not so much. He wasn't so good. You know, Josiah had this growth mindset. Jehoiakim had a fixed mindset. There were three superpowers of the day. It was Egypt, Assyria, and Babylon. And Jehoiakim paid tribute to those three to keep them out of Israel instead of trusting God to take care of them. He was a nasty guy. If he saw a woman he wanted, he had her family killed and moved her into his harem. He was, according to extra-biblical material, this is rabbinic literature, he practiced incest regularly with his sisters and his mother. And he didn't want to look like a Jew anymore. So, you know, he tried to look like a pagan. The Jews strictly forbade having tattoos. He went out and got himself all tattooed like a pagan priest. And he had a surgical procedure done called an epispasm, which is the reversal of circumcision. Try to imagine that without anesthesia. But he was that desperate to not look Jewish. But his worst part was he had a blatant disregard for God. He was not teachable. So this is how the story goes. Jeremiah is talking to Baruch here, and he says this, get a scroll and write down everything I've told you regarding Israel and Judah and all the other nations from the time I first started speaking to you in Josiah's reign right up to the present day. And here again, what he was writing there is likely the material contained in our book of Jeremiah. It's, of course, been edited a few times, and, you know, good Old Testament scholars can tell you where. But the core of God's teaching is still there. And this is how the story continues. Maybe the community of Judah will finally get it, finally understand the catastrophe that I'm planning for them, turn back from their bad lives, and let me forgive their perversity and sin. Hence where I got the title for today from. The word catastrophe comes from the Hebrew word ra'ah, which means nasty stuff. Today, a ra'ah is like a tornado or a nasty hailstorm in modern Hebrew. It's a nasty situation. And God has this plan for the people of Israel because of their actions, because of their fixed mindset. Now, what was interesting about that, too, is this translation uses the word perversity. And perversity literally means, in this case, defying all of the Ten Commandments. You know, and that was Jehoiakim. He had no problem with false testimony. He had no problem with adultery. He had no problem with murder. And the people of Israel at that time were deceptive and cruel and proud of it. And so with these warnings, the thought is maybe they will turn back from their bad lives. Maybe they'll finally get it and let me forgive them. Now, isn't that cool? God wants to forgive. Let him forgive them. It's his great joy. It's to his sorrow when people turn away and don't want to be forgiven, don't want to give up their sin. It's God's frustration when we choose not to grow. So Jeremiah called in Baruch, son of Neriah. Jeremiah dictated, and Baruch wrote down on a scroll everything that God had said to him. And that's probably how much of the Bible was written. Then Jeremiah told Baruch, I'm blacklisted. I can't go into God's temple, so you'll have to go in my place. Go into the temple and read everything you've written at my dictation. Wait for a day of fasting when everyone is there to hear you, and make sure that all the people who come from the Judean villages hear you. You know, he just wanted to get the word out. And look at this, and maybe, just maybe, they'll start praying and God will hear their prayers. Maybe they'll turn back from their bad lives. This is no light matter. God has certainly let them know how angry he is. Look at that. Maybe they will change. maybe they will get a growth mindset. But God doesn't mess with free will. It's His invention. He gave it to us, and He doesn't force us to have a growth mindset. He gives us a choice of a growth mindset or a fixed mindset. We can choose to stay the same or grow. Problem is, we can't stay the same. You know, we're like a thermometer. We're either going up or we're going down, but rarely is it steady. And if we try to stay the same, it goes down. We either get worse or we get better. And trying to stay the same makes us worse. Baruch, son of Neriah, did everything Jeremiah the prophet told him to. By the way, Baruch is the root word for Barak. We had a politician with that name, you know. And Baruch means the blessed one. So in the temple of God, he read the message of God from the scroll. The king sent Jehudi to get the scroll. Jehudi brought it from Elishama's room and read it to the king as all his officials stood by. It was late autumn, and the king was in a winterized part of the palace, sitting in front of a fire to keep warm. Each time Jehudi finished reading three or four columns, the king took a knife and cut off that section of the scroll. He then threw it into the fire, section by section, until the whole scroll was burned up. See, Jehoiakim had a fixed mindset. He was closed to input. He had all the answers. So he was closed to learning. And he did so at his peril. After the king had burned the scroll that Baruch had written at Jeremiah's dictation, Jeremiah received this message from God: get another blank scroll and do it all over again. Write out everything that was in that first scroll that Jehoiakim, king of Judah, burned up. They didn't have Microsoft where they could just hit print again. You know, it had to be written out by hand on a scroll. And send this personal message to Jehoiakim, king of Judah. God says, you had the gall to burn this scroll and then the nerve to say, what kind of nonsense is this written here? That the king of Babylon will come and destroy this land and kill everything in it. Nonsense. It's exactly what happened. See, folks, burning God's message doesn't make it go away. You can burn all the Bibles you want or ignore all the Bibles you want. It doesn't make it go away. You can't get rid of God's message to you. That's one of the main points of this passage. Well, do you want to know what God says about Jehoiakim, king of Judah? This: no descendant of his will ever rule from David's throne. His corpse will be thrown in the street and left unburied, exposed to the hot sun and the freezing night. I will punish him and his children and the officials in his government for their blatant sin. I'll let loose on them and everyone in Jerusalem the doomsday disaster of which I warned by them, but they spit at. Again, doomsday disaster comes from that word ra'ah. So what God is saying here is that Jehoiakim's the last king of the Davidic line. You know, David was the second king of Judah, and his descendants had held the throne ever since. This was the last one. It's all because he had a fixed mindset. He refused to grow. He refused to respond to input, especially input from Jeremiah. He refused to examine himself. And he thought there would be no consequences for his actions. And of course, he was wrong. I think this is a great chapter in the Bible, and I hope that you all take some time to read it again. It's printed out for you in your bulletins. But there's three takeaways that I want you to get from this today. First, have a growth mindset. I hate to be the one to break it to y'all, but you don't know everything. So be open to learning at all times. There is always a better way of doing things. Bud Van Zee was right. There's always a better way. So look for that better way. Secondly, listen for the voice of God. That voice can come internally. I believe that God spoke to me as I was driving my Camry to Grand Haven to the ophthalmologist this week, when he said, look, I don't owe you eyesight. Glad he didn't take it away as I was going 80 miles an hour down 31. But he doesn't owe me any eyesight. He doesn't owe me the ability to earn money and buy a car and drive it. The voice can come internally, or it can come externally, through friends, through the church, through your circumstances. But listen for it. And third, respond wisely to God's voice. Don't tear up and throw into the fire something you disagree with. Take it seriously. Evaluate it. See if it goes along with the principles of the teachings of Jesus. And use then the Spirit's input to make better decisions so that you have fewer regrets. This is an artist's version of Jehoiakim throwing the scroll in the fire. But you know what's interesting is that Jehoiakim could have changed the course of history just if he'd had an open ear to Jeremiah. If Jehoiakim had repented, the Babylonian conquest would have never happened. I'm sure Jehoiakim had regrets, but he still remained stubborn up to the end. Paul talks a little bit about this in his letter to the Romans. I want to just do one verse out of there, where he says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. You know, there's some good points in this paragraph. God wants to change us from the inside out. Well, how cool is that? You know, our culture wants to turn us into narcissists. All you have to do is put on your favorite local TV station and watch the commercials. They appeal to our self-centered nature all the time. Our culture wants to drag you down to its lowest level of maturity, immaturity. Whereas God wants to bring out the best, as it says, a well-formed maturity in us. It comes from the Greek words ektelios, which means completion. He wants to bring the best out in us. So God wants to turn us all into grown-ups. He wants us to be mature followers of Christ who will make better decisions and have fewer regrets. So I encourage you to listen for the voice of the Lord. He might just put a Jeremiah in your life, invite you to change. Or he might speak to you in your car as you're driving away from here today. You never know, but listen for his voice and embrace the changes that he's calling you to make. Let's believe this good news and live in peace. Would you pray with me, please? So, Lord, today we all can think of ways in which we have resisted the growth that you have in mind for us. We apologize for that. We repent. It invites you to come into our lives in a new way. Speak to us and make it easy for us to make the changes that you called us to make. We want to report for duty to you and do what it is you would have us to do. We don't want to be Jehoiakim. We want to be more like Josiah, so that we respond to your voice in all these things. Amen.